Radio Boston, I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Calling all fugitives. Lady Justice is about to show a little compassion.
Wanted by the law, do you or a family member think you have an outstanding warrant in Boston?
If you're looking for a way to get your life back on track, then the Fugitive Safe Surrender Program is for you.
We want to provide a safe place for you to address your warrant.
Next month, Boston judges will be holding courts in a Mattapan church. The hope is that thousands of people with arrest warrants for nonviolent crimes will voluntarily show up to sort out their legal problems. And those who come in and come clean will receive, quote, favorable consideration. Here to explain exactly what that means is John Gibbons, U.S. Marshal for the District of Massachusetts. John, welcome to Radio Boston.
Yes, thank you. It's a pleasure.
We're glad to have you. So this program, John, which starts next month on at the Jubilee Christian Church on Blue Hill Ave, is designed, as I understand it, to basically, in part, prevent law enforcement officials from having to chase fugitives, which can be a violent endeavor, potentially. Is that part of what this is about?
That's one of the reasons. An individual could safely go to the Jubilee Church and meet the Boston Municipal Court officials, as well as members of the Boston Police Department and other partners of this initiative. And it's good. That it's a great opportunity so that they can clear up their warrants, get their lives back on track, and be able to move on without looking over their shoulders.
Listeners, we want to know what you think about the Safe Surrender Program. Do you think nonviolent offenders should be given special treatment if they come clean, that they should have an alternative to jail and they should just be able to pay a fine or maybe do probation? And we want to know if you would turn yourself in if you knew that the court would look kindly on you for coming forward. Give us a call at 1-800-423-TALK. That's 1-800-423-8255. In addition to John Gibbons, who's a U.S. Marshal for the District of Massachusetts, we have with us Reverend Jeff Brown. He's Executive Director of the 10-Point Coalition. That's a faith-based community group that's a partner in this Safe Surrender Program. Reverend Brown, thanks to you too for being here.
Glad to be here.
Now, Reverend Brown, this isn't your church that this is happening at. This is the Jubilee Christian Church on Blue Hill Ave. But why a church? Would a program like this be as effective if it were taking place in a town hall or some other public space?
I don't think so. I think the uniqueness of the church is that it's a place where people generally regard it as a place of sanctuary, a place of safety, a place of hope. And what's happening here is an extraordinary collaboration between law enforcement, the courts, and the community, by which on the court side they could deal with their extensive backlog of warrants that they have. And on the community side, for many individuals who have outstanding warrants and have been living essentially in fear of, you know, of getting stopped one day and having somebody, you know, run their record, or, you know, someone coming knocking on the door early in the morning to arrest them, no longer living in fear of that, being able to negotiate and to clean up their situation and leave out of the sanctuary of the church with a new direction.
Reverend Brown, we just heard U.S. Marshal John Gibbons refer to getting people getting their lives back on track. And you referenced this, too, because part of the issue here is that if you have an outstanding warrant, even if for a crime considered relatively minor, you can't get your driver's license renewed, for example. Sometimes you can't get housing. Is this part of the problem? It's keeping people's lives in limbo because they're afraid to come in?
It is absolutely part of the problem. I mean, you have people who are, you know, whose lives have been compromised in many ways because of this issue that is hanging over the heads of an outstanding warrant. As you said earlier, some people can't get their driver's license renewed, so that means it'll be difficult for them to get a job if it's not near a bus or a T station. And it just complicates life. There's a psychological toll that also plays upon individuals who have this constantly hanging over their head, unresolved, and they're always thinking about it or worrying about it. This provides an opportunity to get the kind of resolution that will free up their lives.
Reverend Brown, we have a caller from Roslindale who has an issue he wants to raise that I think would be interesting to put to you. And this is Kevin from Roslindale. Hi, Kevin. I understand you think a lot of people won't want to turn themselves in.
Yeah, only because the you know, the types of court fees and you know, sanctions applied after the fact. I don't think people will be willing to, you know, if it's a warrant for something and there's no, like they said, that there's, you know, favorable sanctions maybe, they said, but that's not really any guarantee to, you know, a fine or maybe even possible jail time. I mean, there's not really any guarantee there. And the people who have the warrants, they really don't trust the court system as it is anyway.
Kevin, thank you for that. Reverend Brown, I think we only have you for a few more minutes. So could you address that for us? What about people who think, well, what if I go in and I do end up getting arrested?
Sure. What I would say to Kevin and to others who are listening is that this program has been running for about 5 years nationwide. And the vast majority of people who go in to these church sanctuaries and work out their warrants come out. That's the idea of the program, that you can go in, work on your issue, and then come out. And favorable consideration, you know, it has to be characterized in that way because, you know, we don't know your individual situation. We don't know, you know, how many warrants you may have because there'll be people with multiple warrants going in. But there's one thing that I've seen, and I've talked with people who run these programs in other cities, and they said to me that the look on people's faces when they go in is very anxious, but that's the reason why you do it in the sanctuary and you have volunteers there to talk with folks and to sort of keep the anxiety level down. But when they come out, they come out in a very different way. They come out renewed and hopeful. So, yes, I can understand the level of trepidation that people may feel going in, but the evidence suggests that this is a program that's not designed to lock people up, but it's actually designed to get people's lives back on track.
Reverend Brown, if you have time for another question before you have to go, sure. What do you say to critics of a program like this who say, look, these people should face the music? You know, why should they, by just going to one of these safe surrender programs, be able to get off lightly on for a crime that may or should have had stiffer consequences?
Right. Well, I mean, I know that many of those critics, you know, are also people who are critical of CORE and CORE reform. We, you know, I've been an active part of our CORE reform legislation. I believe in second chances, and I believe in redemption. We live in a society where if we want people to function as good citizens, we have to institute programs like these so that we can give people a chance to get their lives back on track. That's how we will improve as a society. Once we get people back into productive citizenry, you know, it'll make life easier for the entire city.
Reverend Jeff Brown, thanks for making time for us. I know you only had a little bit of time, and I appreciate that you gave it to us.
Thank you.
Jeff Brown is Executive Director of the 10-Point Coalition, which is a partner in this program. I want to go back to John Gibbons. This is the U.S. Marshal for the District of Massachusetts. Mr. Gibbons, there are more than 50,000 outstanding arrest warrants in Boston and Suffolk County. Why are there so many? How did the number get that high?
I can't answer that for you, but individuals have just and have not showed up, or they may have run into situations where they can't pay their fines, or there could be a various number of reasons. But the warrants are there, and this is a chance. This is a chance that the individuals could stop running scared and start living free. So this is their second chance, and this is a great opportunity, and I just hope that they will come in.
Listeners, we're talking about a new program that will launch in Boston next month called Safe Surrender. If you have an outstanding warrant for a nonviolent crime, you can come in. You might not have to go to jail. You might be able to just leave with a fine or probation. We want to know what you think about that. Is it a good way to clear the docket? We're at 1-800-423-TALK. That's 1-800-423-8255. And Michelle is calling from Plymouth. Hi, Michelle. What do you think about this program?
I think it's a great idea. I actually do have an outstanding warrant. It was my first offense. It was a nonviolent crime. And basically the thought of going to the courthouse to take care of it has me terrified, because it's pretty much been implied if I show up without a lawyer, which I can't afford, I'm going to be locked up.
Michelle, what was could I ask what your offense was?
It was drug-related. but like I said, it was my first offense. It wasn't me. It was someone I was with. I did my probation. I did a year of probation. I complied with every single thing I was supposed to do other than paying the fines. That's basically the reason I have a warrant, is because I didn't pay my fines by the end of my probation. So
and
that's where I'm left at. So now then you get a letter in the mail basically saying, it's too late. Now you have a warrant.
So now you have this warrant hanging over your head.
Mm-hmm.
Let me put that issue to the U.S. Marshal for the District of Massachusetts, John Gibbons, who's with us. John, is this often the kind of thing that you see people coming in for? They have done their probation, so maybe they've mostly served the sentence of sorts for their crime, but maybe they didn't pay a fine, or there was a little administrative thing they didn't take care of. It escalates into a major problem because it was ignored. Is that part of the problem here?
Well, what I'm going to do is defer to Judge Sennett, who is along with me on this question.
Hi.
I'm sorry, who's joining you on the air?
My name is Judge Sennett. I am a judge at the Boston Municipal Court Department, and I am one of the people who will be one of the judges who will be involved in this program.
Ah, so you'll be hearing cases next month at Jubilee Christian Church.
That is correct.
So what kind of, in regards to our caller's question, what kind of people do you expect to see before you? Ones who've just not been able to pay a fine or didn't pay a fine, and now their issue has escalated into something quite serious?
Well, a lot of people we expect are going to be the people exactly like Michelle, who was your last caller. These are very difficult economic times, and what we feel is happening is that they're getting themselves into a bad situation where they can't pay fines. They are in fear of coming to the court. They go into default status because they can't pay, rather than coming into court and saying, "Hey, I can't pay. Could we please work out something different?" Then they get into default status or VLP warrant, and if it's a violation of probation. And then the longer it goes on, the worse the situation gets. And then they can't get their license. And it becomes a very difficult situation for them.
Judge Sennett,
let
me introduce another voice. And this is Donna Schiappello. She works for the Committee for Public Counsel Services. This provides legal representation to indigent defendants. And Donna, thank you also for being here.
Hi, Sasha. Thanks for having me.
Donna, you may be in a position where you have clients who have outstanding warrants, and you need to decide whether to advise them to go to Jubilee Church and turn themselves in. How will you decide what to advise your clients? Is it a good idea or not?
Well, actually, Sasha, we will have lawyers who will be present at the Jubilee Church who will be outside of the church. What that means is that if someone has some questions about whether or not they would qualify for the favorable consideration of the Fugitive Safe Surrender, they can talk with us and get some advice concerning what their options are and whether or not, given their particular circumstance and their particular situation, they would qualify for consideration. That's information that, you know, we would take information from them and then try to advise them as to what their options might be.
So it's a very case-by-case situation.
Well, I think it is. I mean, I think most of the people that we expect to see are the people like Michelle, people who, for one reason or another, couldn't complete the terms of their probation. Maybe the warrant is old. They're suffering from some collateral consequences in the case, and they're just afraid to go into court.
Now, the caller, Michelle, that we heard from had a drug offense. Mm-hmm. What types of crimes are we talking about? So, for example, if you burglarized someone's house but no one was injured, could you turn yourself in and get off by paying a fine or serving probation?
Well, you can always turn yourself in, either at the Fugitive Safe Surrender event or at another site. And a person who's considering turning themselves in for a serious offense would probably want to discuss that offense with an attorney before they made that decision to turn themselves in or not.
But what type of crimes might you expect to see next month?
I expect that we will see, for the most part, probation matters where someone has gotten off track with their probation, or nonviolent misdemeanor criminal offenses, things like maybe a simple possession of a drug case, maybe a trespass, minor criminal offenses.
We have a caller from Manchester, New Hampshire, who has a hypothetical here, basically, or maybe something that might have actually, something she might have been able to turn herself in over. And this is Marie from Manchester. I think we've lost Marie from Manchester. So let me go back to you, Donna, and ask this. What will you say to clients who are just convinced that this is a big trap to lure fugitives to the authorities and that they're going to end up arrested?
Well, Sasha, I actually, you know, I'm a criminal defense attorney, so I had a little skepticism myself. But I went to an event in Baltimore, a Fugitive Safe Surrender event in Baltimore, and I observed. And, in fact, I met a man who had turned himself in, and he was very gracious and allowed me to go along with him as he went through the process. They had about 1,000 people who came through the process in Baltimore, and each person who left was satisfied with the results of their case. Now, not everyone, you know, I mean, the dispositions were appropriate for their matters. Some people's cases were dismissed. Other people had to pay some fines. Some people had their fines and fees remitted, depending on their financial circumstances. But the people who left were very happy to have been able to resolve their matters and no longer have this open criminal matter carrying that they were carrying around with themselves. So I'm hopeful that this same circumstance will take place here in Boston, that people will be able to come in and be able to leave that the same day having been satisfied with the results of their participation.
The DA's office, the Suffolk DA's office, has said that they think there's about a 98% chance, say, that if you come in, you'll go home that day. You're not going to end up in jail. Do you feel that's something you could confidently advise your clients?
I have actually, as the events have been going on, I think we're the 20th event throughout the United States, and the statistics show that about 98%, 90 to 98% of the people go home the same day.
You just referenced, Donna, that this has happened elsewhere. Judge Sennett, are you still with us?
I am.
So you'll be hearing cases next month. When this started in Cleveland, it's been done in Detroit, and in Detroit, apparently more than 6,500 people surrendered. What will you do if it's so successful that the church is just deluged with thousands of people? Is there a potential that you couldn't handle all the processing?
Well, we have a process in place that has been set forth in other fugitive safe surrenders. As Ms. Chappella said, we are the 20th site, so we have learned from the other sites. There is a way in which we can have these people who are overflow on one day come and be the first ones up for the next day on fugitive safe surrender. But just say it was so successful that even on Saturday we had a huge number. Mm. We have a process in which we can get these individuals vouchers to go.
So you're prepared if you get overwhelmed. I want to say thank you to all my guests. John Gibbons, he's a U.S. Marshal for the District of Massachusetts. We heard earlier from Reverend Jeff Brown. Also, Donna Chappello, she's a supervising attorney for the Committee for Public Counsel Services. And our surprise guest, which was Honorable Eleanor Sinnott. She's a judge. She's a First Justice with the Charlestown Division of the Boston Municipal Court. Thank you very much for all of you for coming in. Up next, a midpoint check-in with Morning Edition host Bob Oakes as he and the WBUR news team travel west to check on the state of the state. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.